We're just a lot of talk. And now, ladies and gentlemen, for your further listening pleasure, TalkZone.com, Internet Talk Radio. Welcome to Talking Illini with Boz and Mr. G on TalkZone.com. And now, here's a Cubs fan who drinks light beer and has mustard relish and grilled onions on his Chicago dog. And a White Sox fan who prefers single malts and Cuban cigars. But there's no mistaking their everlasting love for the Fighting Illini of the University of Illinois. You are Talking Illini with Boz and Mr. G.
Boz and Mr. G here. You can email us at talkingillini@yahoo.com or give us a call at 888-463-6748. Mr. G, last week's show was one of the best ones we've had in a year plus of doing this. The chat boards were buzzing. We had the gentleman from the Gainesville Sun on, and prior to that day, nobody around here ever heard of a guy named Charlie Strong. Now you go on the chat boards and that you...
Charlie Strong was offered the D.C. Position when Zook took over the program and decided to stay with Urban Meyer.
Right, and why do you think that was?
Money.
Well, and maybe he didn't want to coach under Zook.
Well, it was
he
also...
He coached under Zook at Florida, yeah, and he had his hands tied.
Right,
and
he had his hands tied, couldn't run his defense. That's probably the bigger reason.
Right, right. So, but anyway, Charlie Strong got a lot of pub, and a lot of people looked him up and checked him out, and some like him, some don't. But it was very entertaining and exciting that people listened in and listened to the interview and got involved in that conversation.
Now, Boz, you'll remember I alluded to a mystery coaching candidate who I thought would be the perfect hire at the University of Illinois.
Yes, you did.
It's unlikely, given how much money the university is willing to spend and their commitment to the program, that they would ever inquire, let alone hire this guy. But I'm going to give you the clues again, and we're offering a $50 gift certificate to Wildfire Steaks, Seafoods, and Chops.
Steaks, Chops, and Seafood.
Steaks, Chops, and Seafood. Here are the clues again. He is a graduate of a suburban Chicago high school. He has coached on multiple levels, including as a head coach in the NFL. He has strong ties.
These are better clues than last week.
Strong ties to the state of Illinois and attended university in the state of Illinois. We'll be waiting for your response.
Attended university?
Yeah, that's the correct way to say it.
Okay.
Boz, I can't help it if you're illiterate.
He attended university.
Yeah, that's grammatically correct.
Okay.
No, but I mean, you're not illiterate. You're just...
I'm just not as literate as you. That's
it's
all.
Okay. It's okay. I shouldn't get
that.
Not
many people are. I can handle it. I've been handling it for years. Going back to the game, I got to go.
Boz did not guess who it was. He knows who it was at this point, but
right,
did not have the answer last week, and I was able to tell him.
We might have a caller calling in now to give you an answer. You're going back to the game. There was a lot of talk about A.J. Jenkins and his penalty. And, you know, that was – he either did that earlier in the year or sometime last year. I know that was the second time I remember him doing that, you know, dancing after a catch, which, again, you know, gets down to discipline and whatnot. And
The inimitable – there you go with that word again, Boz.
You know, you can only use
Dave
it
behind
once
the glass.
A show, not so, once an hour.
I'm sorry. I apologize.
Can you spell it?
Yeah, I can. But CB's on the line. CB, one of our loyal listeners, loyal emailers. Put CB on the phone with us.
I'll just sit back and let the two of you have
CB, how are you, my brother?
Good, guys. How are you?
Nice to hear
Great.
Your voice.
Thanks for calling.
Yeah, I called on the quiz. First of all, is it Shanahan?
Mike Shanahan, we have a winner, folks. But don't you think Shanahan would be a great call for us? I mean, this is a guy who's accomplished so much, has two real rings on his fingers as opposed to the three front Butt has, and he was the head coach on those teams. He absolutely gets it. He's a passionate guy. He relates well to players. Plus, he has ties to the state of Illinois. And you know what? A lot of these pro coaches are priced out of the NFL right now. The Mike Timlin model is the model that works right now. Pick up a guy for $750,000 who's been an assistant. Don't hire the Grudens of the world. Don't hire the Shanahans of the world. Why not take a shot with this guy and at least talk to him?
What about Jeff Fisher?
You know what? I think that that Fisher is young enough and not necessarily, you know, a native of Illinois. He's a native of California. That there are some ties that are deeper and more emotional and visceral for Shanahan. And maybe he'd be a better call. I think Fish still has the itch to coach in the NFL.
I mean, my feeling is give the guy a call. Let him say no.
Why not? You've got nothing to lose.
I mean, if you think he's a good candidate, I don't necessarily. The problem with NFL guys, in my mind, is they always want to get back there.
But Shanahan is at that age right now. He's probably about 57 years old.
Yeah, you're right. He may have been there and said, you know, done that.
This is going to be his last gig. He's probably got about 8 years left as a head coach.
Well, the other problem with NFL guys is the recruiting stuff and the time or lack of time they have to work with the kids compared to what they're used to in the NFL.
Which I think was one of Turner's problems.
Right. Turner always talked about that. He wished he could, you know, work with his quarterbacks and teach them, you know, more than that 20 hours a week.
But you know what? NFL coaches are working 20 hours a day. If he's willing to put in the time, he can develop first-rate talent in terms of going out and getting that talent. The other thing that I would say is the key to any successful coaching regime is the assistants you hire. And if you don't hire good assistants and those assistants can't both recruit and teach, you're not going to be very successful.
Well, I think one of Zook's problems is he wanted guys like him, which were, in theory, recruiting machines, and forgot that they also have to have the X's and O's behind them.
I think this is going to be a great job for the next coach because the cupboard is not bare. There is some real talent here, and whoever comes in next is going to be able to develop that talent.
If Zook is here for another year, how much talent will be here?
You've got to get rid of him this year. And I actually think that if he goes 2-10 this year, he's going to resign. I don't think. And he'll negotiate a buyout with the administration.
Well, yeah, it's good. Yeah,
But I truthfully believe...
Who's going to hire his replacement?
Well, you know who it shouldn't be.
That's not my question. Who is going to?
Well, let's put it this way. If he is still the athletic director and doesn't bring in a committee, he's unfit to lead.
But who's going to... Is it Eikenberry's going to tell him what to do, I guess?
It's the Board of Trustees.
All right.
The Board of Trustees will mandate.
Unfortunately, I don't think any of that's going to happen, and we're going to be sitting here a year from now, you know, talking about the same stuff, maybe.
CB, if he goes 2-10, can he possibly be here next year?
Possibly? Yeah. I mean, I hate to say it, but it's possible.
Is it likely?
Of the huge vacuum, I can't. I agree with you. I think at some point he'd just say, hey, give me some money and I'll leave.
Well, doesn't he look beat up and, you know, I mean, he has said numerous times he doesn't have any answers. He doesn't know what to do.
His alleged recruiting magic, which frankly I don't think has been anywhere near what it's, reputed to be, he's got to be losing guys already. And it's going to be a bad year, another bad year on top of some others. I mean, it's going to snowball. And another year with him at the helm is not going to work.
He's got a good freshman and sophomore class already here on campus. Perhaps, you know, we can lose a year and still be very talented in a year or two.
Well, I agree with you there. I think that if we could get a decent coach and coaching staff that, you know, this team, and we argued about it at the beginning of the year, you know, sans a handful of guys here and there, the rest of this team is very young and inexperienced, and it might be 2 years from now where, you know, maybe we'll see what we did 2 years ago with the same guys that are in the program now as freshmen and redshirt freshmen and sophomores.
You know, one of my fears is that if Zook is fired this year, but you can't worry about it, you're going to lose a lot of players. But I really believe that at the end of the
day. Talking current players or recruits?
Current players.
Guys will leave.
I think guys will transfer to New Mexico. I think guys will go back home to other schools.
Are you aware that two guys have left already? I read about this recently, but I thought that it probably would have deserved a little more mention out of the, public information department or whatever. CB, are you aware that two guys have left the program? One went to New Mexico, and one went home to Florida.
Yeah, I heard about both of them.
Who, Ugo?
Unfortunately, neither one of them was the punter.
Yeah, Ugo went with Loxley. And,
but the reality is, guys, if you look at it from what would happen in the real world, you can't not make a decision because
I absolutely
be some
agree.
Short-term fallout.
I absolutely agree. You can't worry about the short-term consequences. And the other thing that I've noticed about Zook is I really believe, and this permeates the entire team, coaches coach and players play not to lose. And I don't think that there's a winning attitude here. And I really believe that I see this from a coach-down mentality that's being spread and disseminated throughout the entire team. It's that these kids are afraid, and the coaches are afraid.
They're tight. They're the worse every week it gets worse and worse. They get tighter and tighter.
Do you see that as well, CB?
Oh yeah, and as a point of comparison, if you look back at Makovic, who I can't say that I was a huge fan of, but I think he was the best coach that Illinois has ever had since Zupke. You look at him at the end of a game, and he was in control. Everybody, the clock was managed. He knew what to do, who was going in, who was not going in. And when you watch the Illini now, it's a scramble.
Well, it is. And he's got that deer in the headlight look. Mm-hmm. And I go, oh, God, what are you thinking? Where are you coming from on this?
It would be one thing if he was a better delegator, but allegedly he's not. He's sticking his hands into everything and obviously not successful.
Well, and that's what the guy from the Gainesville Sun said about Charlie Strong, felt hamstrung, wasn't able to run his defense at Florida, was one of the reasons he didn't come with Zook to Champaign is because Zook made him run the cover two, and he thought it was the wrong defense.
Well, even if you listen to Schultz, who Zook just hired, and certainly on paper looked like a great hire. He and I don't know if I'm reading into his comments, but he said, this isn't my offense. There's nothing that happens here that Ron Zook either doesn't touches or has input, however he put it. But that, in retrospect, that may be more revealing than I realized at the time.
Well, right. See, and our friend from Gainesville, kind of acknowledged last week, too, and I didn't have time to ask Mr. G the question. I don't think Gunther did his homework on Zook. I mean, he liked the recruiting aspect and thought that was the one number one need, and that's what he went for. But, the word was out at Florida that he couldn't coach, and one of the reasons why is because he doesn't, let his assistants coach, and he doesn't, and it causes friction. I'm convinced that there's friction in those meeting rooms and this guy Schultz, I wouldn't be shocked if he picked up and left after the year.
Well, Mr. G's mentioned this before and I agree with it. Every, or at least of recent vintage, every one of the coaching hires, including basketball, has been a reaction to something else. And I'm not saying that's wrong necessarily. I think he looked at it when Zook was being hired or that hire was being made. Listen, we've tried it with good coaches. Let's try it with somebody. We've got to get some talent in here, and the coaching we can backfill. Well, one, I don't think Zook was as good of a recruiter as everybody thought he was. And secondly, they didn't backfill. It's one thing if Zook couldn't coach, but his staff could. Well, apparently his staff either can't or he won't let him. I don't know which. But
guys, let me ask you this. I got in a conversation this week on the chat board about expectations, and the history in our lifetime, certainly, where you is more under 500 with a handful of wins than above, but
we're 39% since 1967.
Thank you. But certainly since the Rose Bowl, didn't we have reason to believe that Now we're on an uptick, and at the very least, we could be 6-6, 7-5, go to bowl games most every year, and every 4 or 5 years hit the big one at 9-3, 10-2, and get. Is that so unreasonable for us to think and want for a university this size with these resources?
Well, I'll give you a comparison. I was listening to a podcast the other day on Rivals, talking about Ohio State, and they're like ready to fire Tressel. He's like the worst thing that ever happened to Ohio State football, and we'd be carrying the guy around in the streets.
By the way, Ed Warner was the offensive coordinator. Is the offensive coordinator of Kansas, was our O-line coach a few years back, and he was a guy that Zook let get away, and now is doing unbelievable things with, you know, a Kansas program that before Mangino was more abound.
But, Boz, to your point, I can only speak for me. If we were 7-5 most years and went to a bowl game, I mean, on a consistent basis, that would be wonderful.
And that's what we thought we were buying into. If you read my blog, Groundhog Day, that's exactly what I said. We thought we were buying into consistent mediocrity, and we could handle that. And I will say this. You've got to hold your nose a little bit. I mean, Zook, he's a nice human being, but he doesn't necessarily represent the university in the most classy manner.
Well, I'm with you when he said Illinois when he was hired.
Well, and that brings me to another point.
It's a little thing, but it still bugs me.
Well, yeah, it should have been an indication that perhaps barbarians were at the gate.
Well, and that brings me to another topic on my sheet here. We got a few minutes before the next break. When did it start, the alma mater, when everyone's singing and the kids and the fans, they do Illinois and then they drag it out. And
they're making fun of Zook.
No. They did it before Zook. Sometime after we got out of school and before Zook, they started this. And the first time I heard it, I was like, I didn't know what to say or do. I certainly don't do it because I think it's not right. It's, you know, I just don't get it. How
they're doing it to make fun, not because they're poorly educated.
So I wonder, you know Andy Cogger from OKW? Andy's a proud graduate of the University of Illinois, went on and did his master's in architecture at Yale University, runs a first-class architectural firm, OKW Architects, in Chicago, still serves on the School of Architecture's advisory board. He said this about our institution. I believe that as an institution, Illinois behaves apologetically, whether recruiting academics or athletes. This school, which has been amongst the most productive in the country at cultivating brilliant minds and producing new technologies, behaves as if it was a Central Illinois JC, hoping every new faculty, athlete, or coaching recruit will find something lovable about the school and hopefully stay for a while. Rather, they should proudly remind all those who send a resume or negotiate a contract what the school's pedigree and history is really about. This lack of pride of place is endemic in the students and especially the alums. Michigan and Wisconsin grads almost universally speak about their respective schools with enthusiasm, respect, and warmth. It's a tough problem to fix, as you said. It requires a rebuild from the school administration all the way through athletes. I think there's a lot of truth to that commentary.
Yeah, I can't argue with it.
And we need to rebuild the attitudes at this university. One, it cannot be run like the University of Central Illinois. It must be run like a first-class institution, a world-class institution, and we must not shrink from our accomplishments or back down when people try to assail us. We must stand up and be proud Illinoisans, and we must advocate for our university unapologetically.
CB, you got any questions for Mike Mullins?
No.
Okay.
Anxious to hear him.
All right, great.
CB,
well,
we're gonna email me your address where you want your $50 gift certificate sent, and you know, maybe we'll even join you there.
Thanks, guys. Always enjoy the show.
Thanks,
to you, CB. Thanks.
Keep it up.
Thanks. We're talking Illini with Boz and Mr. G, and we'll be back with Mike Mullins in a moment.
Never do today what you can put off till tomorrow. Now, that's not exactly the saying, but it seems like people would rather have a root canal than do something about their finances. That's what AXA Advisors is all about, working with you one-on-one so you'll have a financial plan for the things you want tomorrow. AXA, financial protection. For more information, call Stephen King, financial consultant, 224-554-8053. That's 224-554-8053. Securities and investment advisory services offered through AXA Advisors, LLC, 212-314-4600. Member FINRA, SIPC.
You'll find the car you want at RizzoCars.com. RizzoCars.com.
It's true. You will find the car you want at RizzoCars.com. Over 6,000 new and used cars, trucks, and vans available online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's so fast and so easy. RizzoCars.com is your one-stop auto purchase resource site. Build a new vehicle, compare up to 5 vehicles at once, access new vehicle reviews, take a new car video test drive. RizzoCars.com also offers easy-to-qualify online financing, which helps to make your purchase simple and fast. Shop 13 new car franchises, including Ford, Chevy, Cadillac, Buick, Lincoln, Mercury, Acura, Porsche, Kia, Hummer, and Saab. So if you're tired and frustrated of driving from dealer to dealer, just remember,
you'll find the car you want at RizzoCars.com. RizzoCars.com.
The award-winning Sun Tracker Swivel Beach Chair is the only folding beach chair that swivels a complete 360 degrees. So whether you're basking in the sun or just watching the kids, you'll never need to get up to adjust to the optimal position. It's lightweight and folds to only 6 inches wide, so it's perfect for the beach, tailgate parties, sporting events, and more. Anywhere you take a folding chair, you'll want to take the Sun Tracker. To learn more or to order yours today, visit suntracker.com or call 888-786-8725. Sun Tracker, the ultimate swivel beach chair, a proud sponsor of Talking Illini with Boz and Mr. G. Check it out at suntracker.com.
The best in Internet talk radio.
A mind-bendingly ingenious plan to control the universe.
We're building the best Internet talk radio on the planet. TalkZone.com. Now back to Talking Illini on TalkZone.com. Once again, here's Boz and Mr. G.
We're back, Talking Illini, Boz and Mr. G. Give us a call like CB just did, 888-463-6748.
By the way, we did have another guess on the coach. It was Mike Shanahan was the correct answer, but somebody guessed Bill Callahan. Thank you for your guess, but unfortunately it was wrong.
He is a local guy, Callahan.
Callahan is a local guy, grew up in, but I'm not sure he went to a university in
Illinois.
No,
I'm trying to think. Somebody I know... You know, I think he went to Homewood Flossmoor and went to school with a fraternity brother of ours. But anyway, before we get to basketball, I got a few more last football points. And Saturday's game. People made issue at the end of the game. We didn't use timeouts. We, you know, didn't, again, work the clock to try. You know, we ended the game with a play that went out of bounds. We could add another play or two more and tried to get a touchdown. Any thoughts on that, Mr. G?
No, it's just more of the same. You know, it's piling on. At some point, I look at the mistakes we're making. We're not correcting them. We're not correcting our game decisions. We're not correcting our deficiencies in terms of fundamentals. There's nothing more to say about it. Until I see strategic changes, until I see fundamental changes in how we approach the game, either through our strategy of coaching or through our play, there's nothing more to be said.
Okay, then we'll move on to basketball.
Much happier topic at this point, although the preseason is always a happy time because everyone is undefeated in the preseason, Buzz.
Yes, they are. All right, well, last week we were talking about recruiting, and we talked about the fact that you know, Nana had verbaled and Tracy Abrams, so the 2011 class, we have you know, two commits there, and we can give up to three more, up to five for that class.
I think we'll either take Randall or Beal if one of them is available, and we'll call it a day unless – unless a player like Quincy Miller or some just extraordinary talent shows up on our doorstep and wants a home.
Well, there's a laundry list of forwards. I think we're going to take two more guys, not just one, and call it a day. That's what I wanted to kind of clarify from you and ask you.
Well, because I have clarified my position.
All right, and I respectfully disagree. I think you got to, you'll take a forward along with one other of the guards. You can't have two guards in a center.
Why not? I mean, we've got a balanced class, you know, for 2010. We have a forward, a kind of a mid-range player, and a center, and we've got a point guard in 2011. We've got a center slash forward in 2011. We take another big guard or a combo guard. We need players that can play multiple positions. You really don't want to pigeonhole a player. What we want are we want guys who can play the 4 and 5, and we want guys who can play the 1, 2, and 3. And if we can find players who are interchangeable like that, why label them or why try to pigeonhole guys into a slot where I think we're evolving in basketball to a point where it's less important what you call a player's position than what he can do once he's out on the court.
Well, I just reference it in terms of height. You want to have, you'd rather have some 6'5", 6'6 guys and not all 6'3
guys. So a player like Joseph Bertrand, what position does he play?
Well, he could play a 1, 2, or 3.
That's exactly what I'm talking about.
Right.
And how about a guy like Brandon Paul? What can he play?
He's a 2.
Well, he can play a 1, 2, or 3. By the time he's done, he will play all three positions.
Well, you're asking me now. Now he's a 2. He's a little short. If other teams have threes, I mean, would you want him to guard Jeremy Richmond, who is 4 or 5 inches taller than him?
Who is our 3 on the national championship runner-up?
Luther Head.
How tall is Luther Head? About 6'2.5". I know they list him as 6'3". He's about 6'2". How tall is Brandon Paul?
He's 6'2".
No, he's 6'3 to 6'4". Brandon Paul, I've seen Brandon Paul and Luther Head in person. Brandon Paul is taller than Luther Head.
And did you see him together?
And he can jump every bit as high as Luther could. And Luther doesn't jump that high anymore, but when Luther first came on the scene, could jump very high. So can Brandon Paul. To me, why pigeonhole it? So after I said that, and you're still holding to this commentary and holding to your position that a 6'3 guy can't be your 3. That you can't win a national championship with a 6'3 guy as your number 3.
All I'm saying is if I have...
Do you now agree that a 6'3" guy can be the third tallest player on a national championship contender?
Well, sure, anything. But while I'm saying with the talent we have and with the list of recruits that all we need to pick one out of 3 or 4 guys, and all these guys are 6'5", 6'6", 6'7", you wait and see, and if you want, we'll wager a lunch or something.
You don't wager. I don't want to do that. I don't want you to compromise your principles and integrity, boss. I refuse to make a bet with you.
Didn't we? So I don't owe you a dinner. I thought I lost something because I was going to take you.
Yeah, you do owe me a dinner, but it was just.
All right. Well, we're going to do that once the season starts, because I found out where St. Ignatius is.
Yeah, it's on Roosevelt Road.
Right, by like...
just west of the Loop.
Right, in the Little Italy area, or what do you call that?
Go to Rosebud.
Right, so actually, we're going to go to one of those places.
You know where we're going to go to? We're going to go to Tofano's. Tofano's is a little neighborhood joint on Vernon Park.
Is it in that neighborhood?
In that neighborhood, right around Chicago, UIC. It's an old mobster haunt.
Oh, wonderful.
And it's a great restaurant. It's on Vernon Park. It's just west of the expressway. But Tofano's is also called the Verna Park Tap. Its menu is on a blackboard. Great place. Authentic Italian food. Authentic Italians inside.
Okay, we'll do that. And we'll do it, and then we'll go
Dave, you want to come with us
for St. Ignatius game.
Dave, we'll invite Dave for dinner.
Okay, we promised Mike Mullins. We're trying to get him. He's not answering his phone, but hopefully by the time we're off. If not, we'll get him next week. But this is Boz and Mr. G talking Illini. You can chime in at 888-463-6748 or email us at talkingillini@yahoo.com. So, you know, all things sound pretty good coming out of the first few basketball practices. Midnight Madness was Friday night, but I think they had a regular practice beforehand for a couple hours. So they've practiced Friday, Saturday, Sunday, 4 days or so.
I want to read an email relating to our last blog, which is on Dante Hardiman and the dangers of football and the humanity that we cannot lose just because we're interested in wins and losses. And this is from a well-known orthopedic surgeon in the Chicago area who says it's an appropriate aspect of the world of football that goes overlooked all too often. Most of the professional and a lot of the football players are left with lifelong physical ailments because of the sports. It's an unfortunate reality of the sports. The same concept was the present premise behind the movie Jerry Maguire. This is a guy who runs orthopedics for at least five high school teams in the Chicago area.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, football is a brutal sport, and you know, all over the country, I'm sure there's stories that we don't even know about that you know, young men get, you know, hurt and hurt permanently each year. And unfortunately, it's part of the game, and you just hope equipment and teaching and coaching and technique, you know, helps to avoid that. We now have our next guest, Illini Nation, on the phone. I want to welcome in for the first time this year, Mike Mullins. Mike, how are you this afternoon?
I'm doing well, thank you. I apologize for being a few minutes late. I got caught up in some traffic.
No problem. Mike, I imagine that you're a tough, hard-nosed guy who is really a disciplinarian. And any military background in your past?
No military background, but you know, I've wound up being influenced by a few ex-Marines in my life with playing at Fenwick and then later on in college, and they were just good strong men and kind of gave me a good foundation.
And give me a thumbnail sketch of what's important to you and how you like to try to coach kids.
I think the most important thing is coachability, that I think you can help them develop a work ethic, push them to parts that they don't realize that they can get to, but they have to want to get there. And, you know, I think the coachability, listening, processing, and be willing to trust you, and you got to have a relationship built up where they think you know what you're talking about and that it works. And you know, once they do that and they buy into it, then, you know, it becomes a very enjoyable process as you see them grow and expand their games.
Speaking of coachability, Mike, that word seems to have cropped up when the coaches are now describing Dimitri, who you coached a couple years back, and his the summer he had getting into presumably the best shape of his life and now entering his junior year and hopefully being a leader on the team. Have you had a chance to talk to Dimitri over the summer and tell us how he's doing?
Oh, yes. We stay in touch quite regularly, and, you know, he's a young man who's gone through, a lot of changes in his basketball life, not only physically, but, you know, it was only a few years ago that he was a power forward, you know, slash shooting guard, and we started playing him as a point guard. And I think last year when I was on your show, I alluded to the fact that the longer he plays it, the more he's going to develop his game and realize what he needs to be successful at that position, and it requires a different skill set than he was successful on early in his high school career and really through his junior year of high school, where, you know, he just kind of overpowered people. And I think, you know, I give him a lot of credit and the staff down at U of I, but I give Dimitri a lot of credit because, you know, he's a very aware, intuitive, you know, kid who realizes that, okay, you know, my way's not working, and go. And, you know, it's a good lesson for all of us. We all learn at different rates and evolve at different rates. And, you know, I think for coming in and being asked to start in a very tough year as a freshman at Illinois and then go through last year and continually put more weight on his shoulders, carry the team and do certain things that he wasn't satisfied. And it really stuck in him last year, even though he was a third team All Big Ten performer, that it wasn't anywhere near the year that he wanted to have. And he was willing to take Coach Weber and the staff's viewpoint and suggestions, and mine, and his family's, and put them together, and undergo this metamorphosis physically, which is certainly going to help him in the long run. And we all agreed on that. And I think he's going to have a terrific season. Just a terrific season.
Yeah, that sounds great. We're excited here to get the season going and see him out there leading the team. Now, of course, with your assistance, last week we had Nana Egwu on, and you coach Nana in the summer in your Wolves program. And tell us how much a role you had in his recruiting. We know he's got family, he's got his high school coaches, he's got you. What kind of conversations went on between you and he as he was picking his school?
Well, I think he leaned on his staff at St. Ignatius, Coach Griswold and Coach Kehoe and myself, for basically the majority of his recruiting advice, because it was such a unique situation with Nana not coming from a basketball background, or not spending his whole life, or his family not being with posters on their walls of certain schools, like a lot of kids grow up these days. And we tried to talk about pluses and minuses and where he could fit and the opportunities each place presented, and basically provide him information and answer any questions that him and his family had so that he could come and make a good decision for himself.
Coach, give me an example of an involvement with a kid that you've had where you've really made a difference. Maybe the kid didn't come to you with a lot of talent. Maybe he had other issues. And a kid has gone on and really accomplished a lot, and one who's made you very proud.
I'd hate to single out one, and some of the stories are still being written. But, we've had kids that have come up in our program, I just had one of the kids who called, and he played on one of our early teams, and he just passed the Series 7 for the financial industry.
Wow. And who's that kid?
Mason Stewart. He went to Northern Iowa on a scholarship, and he left there and wound up finishing his education at Illinois State, and he stayed with it. And I got a kid who's a couple kids who are football captains at Minnesota and Notre Dame, where it's, fifth-year seniors, the nose tackle Eric Small and Scott Smith, who's already in graduate school, who at different times, neither of these guys were really crazy about academics and all those type of things, and they've turned into, real solid students and made a lot of progress. So each kid has a different path because they all start at different levels in different places.
Do you take as much pride in the off the court successes of these kids as you do in the on the court success?
Oh, without question. If it was just about basketball, I wouldn't be doing it. I take more pride in what kind of men they become, and the ones who choose to stay in touch and keep coming back and trying to help the kids after them and go on to be leaders in their school and communities and get their degrees. Those are the things that we've tried to stress as being important, to use the game to get to where you want to go. Don't let the game use you.
And when a kid stumbles, like you've had a situation with Diamond Taylor, who's a really wonderful player and has had some difficulties at Wisconsin, are you trying to help a kid like that?
Oh yes, I was in contact with Diamond from the day after it happened, all the way through today. He's entered school down at Southern, and he's got wonderful parents, and I think that's. They've done everything they can, and being a parent myself, there's no good phone calls after midnight from the police or a hospital, and unfortunately they have to go through that, and it was a very, very poor decision on his part, and he's paying the consequences for it, but I don't think he deserves to be thrown away for that. I felt there was truly remorse, and it was really out of character for the type of person that I know, and I've known him for for quite a while, and his family.
And when you have a situation like that, did you go to Coach Bo Ryan and say, Bo, you know, I want you to give this kid another chance? Do you ever intercede in a situation like that and really lobby on behalf of a former player?
You know, and that situation, because it involved the criminal justice system as well as the school, you know, that's a process that I'm aware of that, you know, their hands are tied. They have to let those processes play out. You know, if it's more something along the lines with, you know, they're not fitting in or their playing time or they're unhappy, normal type stuff as they're adjusting to college. You know, I try to stay in touch with the players and the coaches throughout that. But, you know, this was a serious matter, and you know, I spoke with the staff at Wisconsin and realized that they needed to let that play out, and that the people above the basketball program were going to make their decision. They were entitled to do that, and whatever the consequences were, Diamond would have to live with. And you know, my thing was that you know, try to put him in a situation where he could show that was out of character and go on and be successful academically and as a person and hopefully on the basketball court at some point, but realizing that he's certainly used up his mistake card.
Yeah, based on what you've said, I'm really rooting for the kid, and I hope he makes it at Southern.
Thank you very much. We are too.
This is Boz and Mr. G talking with Mike Mullins, talking Illini. If you want to ask Mike a question about some of his ball players that we're going to get into in a second, give us a call at 888-463-6748 or email us at talkingillini@yahoo.com. Mike, I want to go back to Nana for a second, and then I got a few other names jotted down here, some of your ball players. But tell Illini Nation what we're getting now with Nana and what you see him do in the next 2 years before he gets down to Champaign to make himself Big Ten ready.
Well, I think Nana is in a very fortunate situation in that he's around people that really care about him as a person and as developing him as a player, and that it's such a unique situation even for myself and our program, starting with him with very little basketball background, and him being so bright as a person and hungry as a student of the game to learn, that it's really been enjoyable to watch his development. I mean, he's was 6'6 when I met him. He's 6'10 now. You know, we measured him a few weeks ago before he made his commitment. He's long. He has an intuitive sense of how to block shots without fouling and keep the ball in play, and he chases those down and starts breaks. And, you know, it allowed my club to change the way that we guarded and played defense because he was such a big factor, that we could funnel players to him. And you know, we knew we had someone back there who would change or alter a shot if not block it. And then his development, you know, he wasn't satisfied just being that type of player, and he really worked on his skill game and developed a good jump hook. And he's a, you know, it's amazing how quickly he's developed a knockdown shot. I mean, he's become a very good form shooter. And I guess some of it is there were no bad habits to break, and the other part of it was he's put in a lot of time doing it because he wanted to be a factor on both ends of the floor. And I think you'll see that come out more and more with his high school team over the next 2 years. And, you know, the last part will be his physical development.
Mike, does he have a specific back to the basket move? And who would you compare his game to, either on the college or pro level?
You know, his favorite back to the basket move right now, I think, you know, would be a jump hook. And, you know, we're trying to work on that being off of either hand. And he does a very nice inside-out step-through where, you know, he faces up and knocks the shot down. And, you know, particularly at the high school level, he's able to get that over players. He's not playing a whole lot of guys his size, and I think that'll be a go-to scoring move for him this year. You know, developmentally, you know, you've kind of thought about that, you know, a lot. And you know, and it's kind of like, you know, he's not as strong as Jordan Hill was at Arizona, but Jordan Hill was a guy that came late to the game, and I kind of knew the coaches out there, and he just became a double-double guy, and he wasn't anywhere near as highly recruited as Nana, but he turned himself into a first-round draft pick this year with the Knicks. because he has that type of hunger, and you know, he's modest about his game, and he's willing to work at it. And you know, you got to have talent to play it, and talent and size is a good thing. But you know, talent, size, and a great work ethic really will carry you a long way. And Nana has all three of those things.
Great, Mike. The next name, of course, Illini Nation wants to hear about is Chasen Randall. You've had him for a few years also, and everyone's waiting on what he's going to pick, and it might be a while, according to published reports. He's kind of down to three or four schools or so, one of them being Illinois. Tell us about Chasen's game, first of all, and then secondly, where he is with his recruitment.
I think Chasen is one of the most college-ready players that we've had. He really knows the game very well. He's highly skilled, and you know, anything that you point out to him that you perceive as a weakness or ask him to get better at, he does. And he really extended his range over the summer and his ability to make shots off the bounce. And he's really has unnaturally long arms and great anticipation on the defensive end. And, you know, he can run a team from the point, and he can be your leading scorer by sliding over, you know, during the same game if you need him. So his versatility is very high. And I think mentally he took off at a different level with his experience with USA Basketball, being chosen to go to Argentina and win the gold medal over there. And, you know, he came back with a real sense that he belonged among the nation's elites, and that's part of the reason I think he had just such a great July with us. And, you know, he took us down the stretch, and I think we wound up winning 16 of our last 17 in all the tournaments we played in the second live period. And, you know, he was a big reason for that. He just has a quiet inner confidence, and he really knows how to play the game.
How would you compare
his... Better.
I'm sorry. How would you compare his game to Tracy Abrams?
I think Tracy is a more physical, penetrating point guard at this point. I think they have different body types. I think Chasen relies on changes of pace and hesitation moves and plays very well without the ball, comes off screens. He's perfect for a motion offense because he knows when to flare, when to cut, when to curl and turn it up to the basket. You know, Tracy, I think, is much more comfortable playing with the ball in his hands. He's a great player. First time I saw Tracy, I knew he'd be big time, and it was, you know, coming out of eighth grade into freshman year. He has a real aggressiveness that you see from a, you know, tough Catholic League point guard. He can score, can get to the rim, and can finish. He's a very tough guard, and, you know, he gets into people, and he really frustrates them on the defensive end with that. And,
Mike, you have to think that Chasen probably grew up with a few D. Brown and Deron Williams posters in his bedroom.
You know, I know his the area up there has a lot of Illinois fans, and I know his father was one of them, and it was a magical a run with those guys for those couple of years, and you know, it certainly has influenced Illinois' recruiting for the last few years, and that. There's a lot of kids looking to be a part of that magic again.
Yeah, I feel a big run coming. I don't know how you would assess that.
Yeah, well, I think the staff has done a great job and kind of changing their approach a little bit, and they've certainly been able to land the targets they've gone after, and it's come at a time where some very, very good players have decided to sign on the line and head down to Champaign. So I think it's just, you know, it's an exciting time for Illinois basketball.
It's
always nice when the in-state kids want to stay and play in-state.
Yeah, and I think that they've got a real chance to get back to the Final Four in the next couple of years. Let's play a little game right now. Boz, you'll help me. Mike, let's play Where Are They Now? Bobby Frazier, a popular player who was tough, hard-nosed kids, won a national championship at North Carolina. Tell us about what Bobby's doing right now.
Yep. Bobby just landed in Sofia, Bulgaria on Saturday, and he's signed a pro contract, and he's going to be at his first workout yesterday, and I was just speaking with his father, and He kind of decided late, kind of like Chester Frazier did, that he was going to continue to pursue a pro career. He had some opportunities to coach and do things like that. His father, Bob, is a great friend of mine and high school Hall of Fame coach in Illinois. And Bobby decided to keep trying to play, and his body felt better than it has in a few years with the injuries he suffered at Carolina. So we wish him good luck in his Bulgarian professional debut this week.
And your son's playing overseas, isn't he?
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Brian's playing in Bourg, France, and he's off to a great start. He played with the Irish national team. He's got dual citizenship, played in the Olympic qualifiers for a month with them, and got to meet some cousins he didn't know he had, and then he moved over to France, and you know, he's got the had a really good start over there, and he's leading the league in assists and assist turnover and scoring about 12, 13 a game. He just had a big game Saturday, and his team's tied for first. So
sounds like you're a little envious, Mike. Well, Mike, it sounds like you're a little envious.
I'm real envious. My wife just landed over there today, so she went to visit him.
Getting back to Chase, I got one last question on Chase. And what are the issues that he's weighing in terms of deciding ultimately which school to go to?
I wouldn't categorize them as issues. Chase and his family had a plan for recruiting, and what I advise all my players when they come in, because they all get recruited at different levels, is that, you know, this is the only time you're in control of things is when you're being recruited with regards to who you're going to visit to, if and when you want to commit. And, you know, time reveals a lot of information about schools and then players that you would play with and coaching situations, all of which are very volatile in the world of NCAA basketball.
Yeah, you want to make sure you have a stable coaching staff.
A stable position and know who you're going to play with and what the team's going to be like, where you fit, and all those things. And, you know, our experience has told our kids that, you know, find out as much of that until you're comfortable. And what Chasen and his family said from the beginning was that probably spring or summer after his junior year would when he's going to make a decision, and that's what they've stuck to, and they haven't done anything but keep their word to everybody they've dealt with, and that's a plan they're comfortable with, so I respect that.
Is Chasen the type of kid that's going to relish competition, or is he going to want to go somewhere where he's going to be a big fish in a little pond?
Oh, no, I mean, you don't get invited to USA Basketball and play on that if you don't relish competition. And it's also not a place where guys go to, you know, be the big wheel. You know, the teams they're putting together now, you could see they're truly making teams now instead of the way we used to do it and putting together all-star teams that may not fit as well together. And Chasen wants to play at the highest level. He wants to play for conference championships and NCAA championships, and to do that, you not only know you're going to play with great players when you get there, but they're going to recruit great players after you get there. And that's the type of kid he is. He's a straight-A student. He's top of his class. You know, he's just, you know, he's going to make somebody very, very happy.
So to your knowledge, Mike, I mean, is he in his mind down to one or two or three, or does he still have a list of four or five? What do you know about that?
No, he's down to a few schools, and actually we've had a few schools call this week, and he's told them who were new in and wanted to make offers to him, and he's stopped accepting offers. So, you know, and that was part of the plan that, you know, he said he would adhere to, and I give credit to his parents and himself because they've done it.
Baz, you sound like the recruiting coordinator for Bruce here.
No, I'm just asking questions that a fan would want to know the answers to.
Yep, and I have to respect Chasen and his family's privacy with that, and you know, they're making the visits to the schools that they're very interested in, and I know they're anxious to get down and see Illinois again, and he's been down there a few times, and he was at Purdue earlier, he was at Ohio State, he was at Iowa State this past weekend, and he was out in Colorado, so I think, you know, what he does kind of speaks for itself.
Mike, you sound like the guy who it would just be an absolute pleasure to play for. You're disciplined, but, you know, you're a coach they can lean on. I have to think that these kids are really lucky to have been in your system. Give me the favorite player you ever coached against, though.
Favorite player I ever coached against, I would say there were two, and one of them was Jarrell McNeil from Marquette.
Sure.
And, I just thought he, no matter where I saw, and I saw him play from fifth grade on against us, and play against my son and Frazier's team from that age on, no matter where I saw him in the country, at 12 or at 17, he never took a playoff. He never took a game off. And I was just really impressed with him. And you know, the other guy that was very, very similar to that, that I thought was just one of the best kids or best teams that we ever ran into, was Rudy Gay. Played with the Washington team, from guys that actually Chester's high school coach Harry didn't. He was one of the few guys I saw that could play all five positions, and was an immense talent. Was a no doubt NBAer the first time I saw him as an eighth grader.
And where is McNeil now?
Jarrell just got waived by the Clippers.
And
so that was today, I believe.
And
he got waived. So
is he going to try to stick it out and hook out with another hook on with another team here, or is he going to go to Europe?
I'm telling you, I don't know very much, but this is a kid that's going to play for somebody and play for a long time, because he won't be denied.
Excellent.
Yeah, he's going to make money playing professional basketball, and I think he'll do whatever it takes to get around the NBA. And a lot of times it's just a lot of persistence. And this was a very tough year economically to try to stick on an NBA roster with everybody carrying a couple players light.
Yeah, Mike, exactly. Teams used to carry 15. Now they're going down to 13 or 14 or whatever.
Yep.
Mike, we got a bunch of more questions, but we're out of time. We'll have you on in a few more weeks as the season gets rolling. We appreciate your time and your information, and thanks for talking Illini with Boz and Mr. G.
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks for having me, you guys. Good luck this season.
Thank you. Thank you. That was Mike Mullins talking Illini with Boz and Mr. G. Mr. G, another show down. We got Purdue coming up this week.
ILL, Boz.
I, Mr. G.
You will find the car you want at RizzaCars.com. Over 6,000 new and used cars, trucks, and vans are available online 24/7. RizzaCars.com is your one-stop auto purchase resource site. Build a new vehicle, compare up to 5 vehicles at once, access new vehicle reviews, take a new car video test drive. RizzaCars.com also offers easy-to-qualify online financing. Why drive from dealer to dealer? Just remember,
you'll find the car you want at RizzaCars.com.
Step back in time when going out for dinner meant something really special. Step into Wildfire, a steak and chop house with the aura of a 1940s dinner club. Private and semi-private rooms offer a variety of options for any social or business event. Order from our supper club menu served family style. Try our horseradish crusted filet mignon or Wildfire's delicious cedar plank salmon. Dine at any of our 8 Wildfire restaurant locations. Visit us on the web at wildfirerestaurant.com to find a location nearest you.